This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's get
this is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
And it's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott, and yes, Bart Scott. He ain't leaving. He ain't leaving.
Game blows us.
What's up, Brody?
My man, 50 grand.
What'd it do?
Footprints, like you always say. Footprints.
What'd it do, baby?
I don't know if you noticed, but after Marchand put up his story yesterday about how they were trying to poach you, trying to take you away from us, I put up like one after another just different gifts of like John Stockton to Malone, Jason Williams white chocolate to Chris Webber.
Shake it, bait.
I was going like, where's Arvydas Sabonis throwing one over his head to Cliff Robinson? Like, I was trying to find every possible.
Theo Ratliff.
Yeah, whatever. Whoever it was. I was trying to find every possible point guard throwing passes to a guy who's just easy dunks. You know, the Dwayne Wade where he throws it up, doesn't even look, puts his arms out, and LeBron just flushes it.
That's like, another. That's how you set me up, man. It's just like breathing, man.
That's right. Send that message. There's chemistry that you can't replicate. It just happens.
Yeah,
and the world needs to understand something, that Bart and I have not been in the studio.
Ever.
This entire calendar year, for outside of the first month of the show. That's it. Now, we know each other. We've hung out. So it's not like we're complete strangers. But, I mean, when you put a new show together and you then tell them, you're not going to even see each other for 7 months. You're going to work in separate places. You're not going to do any events. You're not going to get out. You're not going to have some, you know, you're not going to party with the listeners like we always got to do. Me and DiPietro, that's all we did. We were out all the time at bars, at games, constantly meeting people, hanging out. And that's that stuff creates chemistry. We never had any of that time to do that. And on top of it, we went from a midday slot to now this sort of late morning, early afternoon, lunchtime slot, like abruptly in the middle of
things. Punch COVID in the face.
That's right. And so throughout this whole thing, we have done what we've done, and we've done it together, doing it basically using FaceTime. This is the long distance
relationship.
Love affair.
We like Balky and Perfect Strangers.
I mean, you know, whatever it is, man, but this is just how we've had to do it.
You know,
and it's worked. And I'm just, like I said, and I want the world to know. Like, I respect everything about whether you wanted to look into things or take a listen or whatever it was. Obviously, afternoon drive is a big opportunity. You always have to listen. But the fact that you said, no, I'm straight. I'm all set. I got my guy.
And you know,
I came because you told me you came here, obviously for TV, but you came here to work with me.
Absolutely, man. That was
and
part,
I
that
don't
was
take that for granted.
That was part of the deal. Hey, you know what's crazy, man? Like, I'm coming in today and I'm running late because I'm coming from Get Up. And
By the way, all of a sudden everybody's getting you. Now you're on TV all the time.
No.
Like all of a sudden.
No.
Like,
a guy stopped.
Hey Bart, can you do KJZ? Hey Bart, next thing is gonna be like, hey Bart, can you do Jalen and Jacoby? Hey Bart, we got NBA countdown tonight. You want to jump in on that?
Game blowuses. I tell you what, but the crazy thing is, like, walking in, like, today, like, you know, about to walk in, guy stops, like, Bart, and I'm used to people saying, can't wait. Yeah. And, like, I'm about to listen. So to that gentleman that was in the black Suburban, man, I appreciate the love, man. I appreciate, nice. You know, the listen. I appreciate the follow, man. I don't take those things lightly, the fact that you guys decide to spend part of your day with me and Alan. And it's crazy, again, because I had to stay in the city because I got to get up for, KJZ and I did Get Up this morning, so I kind of been standing in the city, kind of filling in for Jason. And the crazy thing, so I'm sitting there and I'm ordering some stuff from like this little restaurant. Asian man behind there serving me, and he's like, Bart. I'm like, the hell this dude know me from, right? So he's like, I listen. I'm like, oh crap, man, we ain't crossed over all the way deep to downtown, you know what I mean? And
that's right.
You know, it's just amazing just to reach and the power that, you know, radio and having a platform to really tell people who you are and what you stand for and what you believe in, whether it's, you know, in sports or what it is in life or whatever. You know, I really, you know, take it to heart the fact that people decide to tune in to listen specifically to us. You know, and, you know, I'm going to keep it going, man. Try and keep continue to get better, man, and shake and bake it on up.
That's right. Yeah, this is only the beginning for everybody to know. I mean, God help you once we do get in studio together, all right? Because that's when you know things are really, you know, really going to change.
All we got now is drops. All we got now is drops. All we got now is we got some fire drops. That's it.
We do. But right
now, my brother, my butt.
We got the calls at 800-919-3776, and we'll get rolling on a buffet on a Friday. Chris Candy's going to join us at 11:30, and already shots fired between you two. If you heard him on KGZ this morning, Zubin's starting some trouble, starting to mix it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we'll have some fun. We'll talk with him. And he told me something about Andrew Thomas yesterday. Now, when he said that he texted me this, I was like, oh, damn. And so we'll have to ask him about his Andrew Thomas take as well. So plenty to get to. We'll get the games, obviously, week 7. If you can't get through on the calls, so they're already lining up, you can get us on social media at Barton Hahn on Twitter and Instagram. And Bill will tell you anywhere else you can get us when he gets the chance. But right now,
Bill, where can you get us, Bill? Bill, where are you going to get us at, Bill?
Instant shot or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly where you can get it.
Sorry, I was the Giants with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Wow. See, and Anthony's salty. See, he's so salty. And he's mad
he's
at me.
So much scar tissue there
this?
For him.
How about this? It's 21-10.
Wait a minute. I'm not mad at you. I would like.
You were disappointed.
I was
at me?
Right. Am I crazy or is Anthony right?
That's his favorite.
Anthony
game.
Was right.
That's his. Anthony's favorite game is when I say, "Am I crazy or is Anthony right?"
Up 11.
Because of I feel about the Giants, and I just tweeted this before, and some Giants fans agree, and some think I'm nuts. Anthony's one of them. That I said, Joe Judge has this team pointing in the right direction. There's some pieces they've got to get, but they are competitive. So there's 6 minutes to go. They're up 21-10. I'm like, ball game.
You're optimistic.
Ball
game.
Daniel Jones, you know, we've all been there. He ran out of gas. There was nothing left, 80 yards. He couldn't get to the finish line. He falls down, but at least Gallman gets in, and they have the lead. And you're like, all right, this game's over. They're going to win. And he's like, really, ball game? Really? He goes, I won't believe until there's 0-0 on the clock. Sure enough. After your son Boston Scott catches that ball
out of Pappy.
against Peppers, he sends me ball game, huh?
And I tell you what, man, it's just like this is part of the process, learning how to win. And you know, you think about everything that Wentz had been through and what he, you know, was able to do when it was winning time. You know, recognizing the blitz, kind of telegraphing the blitz, making that huge play to Roberts, then going down and, you know, the cardinal sin, as we always used to tell me, and Dennis Thurman, who was my defensive backs coach, you know, longtime assistant with Rex, would always say, because he was in charge of pass coverage, keep your eyes on your luggage. And you say, keep your eyes on your luggage because you got Peppers trying to look in the backfield. Now, you would think Peppers, first-round draft pick, traded for Odell Beckham, part of the deal, Odell Beckham, Zeitler come over here. He should win that matchup against a guy named Boston Scott. You know, I'm trying to confirm or deny. I've been getting a lot of calls from Connecticut. I'm hoping it ain't the Maury Povich show trying to say that this my kid. But anyway, he's supposed to win that matchup, and he comes up short. Listen, you can say great throw, great catch, but you expect your first-round draft pick, somebody that's going to be looking for uptick in funds in a couple of years, you would expect him to be able to make that play. And that's the difference. They got good players. They don't have difference makers, guys that come up big in the big moments in situational football. So now Wentz comes up big. He looks like the hero. Just imagine what the narrative would have been if they would have been able to get a stop. It would have been all about Daniel Jones. We'd have been able to laugh at the fact that he fell down. Now it's kind of like this is a microcosm of our season. We get close. We look good. But when we get close to the finish line, we fall short. So it's like close only counts in horseshoes, but you still can build off of what you saw yesterday. But it's hard because you think that maybe the Philadelphia Eagles are just as bad as you are. So really, what is that saying? Is that a good loss to have on your resume that you lost to a team that you should have beat? Or is it the step in the right direction? But one thing that has to be said, that left tackle, listen, you know how the Jets have always had trouble with the number 6 pick?
Andrew Thomas, you're talking about?
So, you know, the Jets have always, the number 6 pick is just like a cursed number for them. Other than Jamal, the only number 6 pick to really work out. Looks like left tackle, first round draft pick. looks like first round draft pick, left tackle could be an issue because Eric Flowers, now Thomas.
Yeah, and that's well, Candy's going to join us 11:30, and then that's kind of the parallel he was making there as well. We want to get some calls going here, that 800-919-3776. But before we do, I just want to mention this quickly, because Daniel Jones was okay, not great. Carson Wentz, at times, you know, looked brilliant, and at other times he looked like he was just his own worst enemy. As you mentioned, like, is it a game you can look at? Did you beat a good team, or did you lose? I mean, did you lose to a good team? Tip your cap, or did you lose to a bad team and you should have won that game? I look at it like this. Evan Engram has got to, and everybody knows this, has got to catch that 3rd and 6. He's got to catch that.
The crazy You've thing got is, to it make looks like catch. He short-armed him. It looked like he short-armed it, like he didn't even
there was
put
nobody
into
there.
It.
Like, it's one thing if you saw somebody coming at you like a miss, like Ronnie Lott was about to take your head off. I can understand you might go alligator. There was nobody near him to worry about getting rocked.
And
catch the damn ball.
And, like, you're a tight end. And you're tight end, so who cares if a little safety knock you out? So what? Night-night. Okay, but if you're a receiver, you understand that because you're getting hit by a bigger person. You got to be able to take one for the team. And what you have is you have Engram coming up short, you have Scott coming up big.
That's a play. He said, you know, it's a sucky feeling right now. And, I mean, if you're a Giants fan, that's the game is – it's right there. The game is right there. You have the ball, like, on the 25, 2 minutes to go. The worst thing is you kick a field goal. Game's out of reach. You win.
Yeah.
I mean, you win the game. That's it. The game is over right there if you just make that catch. 800-919-3776. Bart, do we make her wait, or would he take her right out of the gate? You know who I'm talking about. Do we take a few others and then go to her? Like, do we finish the second with Tessa?
Let's let her sizzle, because I want her to have to feel the pain, because I know the more we make her wait, the more it boils. And then we could get some of those classic drops, like Hot Garbage.
I like that. So we'll go to Mike in New Jersey first. What up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I can't help but agree with you. If I was Joe Judge, I would want Engram off the team for that lack of effort. And I wouldn't say it publicly, but behind closed doors, when he wanted to know why I'm traded, I would show him that play and say, show me someone else on the field who showed that lack of effort. You're the only one who didn't want to win that game more than anything else. And I think that sends a message in the locker room. I'm disgusted.
It's frustrating. And I'll tell you what, Joe Judge, after the game, said all the right things, said he made plays, and they just got to keep going to him. They got to get him more targets. Daniel Jones said, I have to pass the ball better. Like, everybody else took the blame. He did it too, though. He said he knew it. I screwed up. He did not try to avoid anything, did not try to, you know, deflect any blame. But so I think they all are handling it the right way. That's tough, man.
They've tried to feature him.
How many end-arounds are we doing with him, too?
Right, they tried to feature him in the offense. They tried to feature him, and usually if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a damn duck. And we keep trying to make, you know, Evan Engram a beautiful swine, because he looks the part, he runs the part, he makes catches in practice the part, but when the lights come on and it's a big moment, he comes up small. Let's go back to some more callers.
Dempsey in the Bronx. Dempsey.
Oh, good morning, guys. I completely agree with that last caller. We need to trade Evan Engram like yesterday. I'll take a 6-round pick from him at this point. He is directly the reason, in my opinion, the main reason we lost that game with that drop pass. And also, he's the reason Daniel Jones has another interception on his list, because that went right through his hands again earlier in the game.
Yeah, there was another. You're right. That went right through his hands. It was unbelievable. And I'll tell you what, though, you know, the defense could have held up, too, though. You still were up 11. Like, you know, you didn't have to give up the lead either, but you're right. You catch that ball. I'm sorry, it wasn't 11. They were up, they were up 5.
Right.
It was 21-16.
And you have Leonard Williams. Whenever you have an overload blitz coming from the secondary on the right side, you have to be able to have contain on the opposite side. And I understand it was a slant he was supposed to pop. He came up short. Those are the little things that go from good to great, man. If Leonard Williams pops and he doesn't have time to get outside the pocket, extend the play and hit Roberts.
Let's take Ralph in Florida. Flo Rida. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Two things. I just want to thank Bart. I don't know if you remember me, but about 5-6 years ago, we were at a Liberty game, and I was 2 rows behind you and my daughter, and you actually brought me and my daughter down to hang out with you and your kids. And my daughter always loved it. the first Liberty game that year. I think they'll play in Atlanta.
Yeah, Witherspoon. Witherspoon was out there too. We were sitting in the front.
Yeah. That was just a great time. I just wanted to thank you. I never got really to thank you how you treated me and my daughter. She's a junior in college now. She still talks about that day.
Man, time flies, man. Well, tell her I said hello, man, and much success.
Well, hey, listen, but two things. One, like you guys are saying on the Giants front, when is somebody going to help Daniel Jones too? I mean, don't get me wrong, he's worth sending me too, but when is somebody going to help Daniel Jones? That Evan Engram play is a microcosm of what Ingram's career is. He's just great athletically, gives you shining moments, but when the big, like what Bart said, when the lights is brightest, he can't grasp the ball. And second of all, the play, forget the drive that won the game. How about the second to last drive by Philly? What is Lewis doing looking in the back of the quarterback and the guy's flying right by him when you're a man-to-man coverage?
Yeah.
I mean, again, you're trying to make plays.
It's the little things.
The little things. You're trying to do things that is not your job. Why don't you just stay with your man and that play doesn't happen?
And then, listen, if that was a zone and he wasn't responsible for carrying him, you damn sure are responsible for getting a violent reroute, right? So even if it was some form of cover two and he threw it in between the safety, like we saw Eli go to Manningham, like it's supposed to be some form of reroute so that the timing is off and you don't have time. You got to get his safety time to recognize if he has two deep routes and which one is the most threatening to get over the top to be able to make the play. So it's what we're talking about in the next step for Joe Judge is to really be able to teach this Giants football team how to perform at a high level in situational football and when what you can expect and what you have to get done in order to not be on the wrong side of a victory.
I just think also the running game for the Giants, it just they're so predictable at this point. They just have no ability other than, of course,
Danny
when the
Dimes
quarterback can escape.
Game,
yeah, he's the only one. But really, out of the 92 yards he rushed for, it was all in one. It was 80 was in the one. So, but still, they just, you know, Gallman had the one good series, which put them up by 11. That was he was strong there.
Went
but
the
other
top,
than
yep.
that, didn't really give you a lot. Deion Lewis, nothing really at all there either. And Devontae Freeman was barely used in that game. Did he get hurt or something? Like,
sometimes you just have game plans where you want a different style of running based on the defense that they run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fletcher Cox probably wanted to attack more outside, not more inside. Understanding that Philadelphia defense is strong up the middle.
All right, you know what? I think we've made it wait long enough.
Let's go.
Tessa West Caldwell on her Giants.
I can't even believe y'all made me wait that long. You know I don't have no voice. You know I'm done. I'm sitting here pacing, bashing my head against the wall. Thanks, guys. All right, listen, let me just start off with this. I need 66 seconds, okay?
Garbage.
I need 88 seconds because of that bum Evan Engram. I'm
seeing
his diarrhea bum hands. I told y'all from last year I used to tell you I couldn't stand him. When the lights is bright, he always dropped the ball. Stop force feeding him. He can't handle it. This man can't handle it. Let him, okay, hand it to him and let him run. Stop doing that. Then on top of that, my soul is snatched. I'm tired. I know, I just told the producer, I would rather us get blown out from the beginning and have no chance than to play pretty decent. And wow, look at defense coming up than this. First of all, oh my God, what is going on? Like, who are you looking at when the defense let the guy get behind him? Who are you looking for? Your man is right there behind you, blowing past you. I was like, is this real? Didn't you write what Daniel Jones did to run and fell and we went in? I said, watch. Oh, my God. That's all they're going to talk about if we lose this game. How that's our season. We keep looking like we're going for the end zone, and then we find a way to shoot ourselves in the feet all the time. And I got to go back to the guy with the bum diarrhea hands. His hands is soft, like hand model hands. What are you doing? Listen, garbage. Listen, my soul is gone. Listen, I never could take my team out of my heart. I love them. But I tell you right now, they off my Giants wall. Last night, I took like 6 plaques down. I couldn't even take it. I'm not going to look at y'all for 10 days. I am not looking at that wall for 10 days. And do you know Tom Brady going to want to punch us in our mouth on primetime on Monday? You know he's going to want to kick us in the throat. So I'm just scared. I'm just scared. You know we could have been 4-2. We could have had the Dallas game. We could have had the Chicago game. We could have had this game. We could have been easily as bum trash as we are, 4-2. No, they didn't beat us. We actually gave them that win. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you really could give a team a win. We gave them that. They lucky as heck. Evan Engram is a bum with diarrhea fingers. They lucky. They are lucky. We all trash, but you know what? This trash team should have won yesterday. I don't know what I'm going to do with y'all. I'm doing myself, guys. I don't have no soul. It's gone. They snatched it. It's gone. So I'm just soulless walking around with no life. I just want to let y'all know that. I'm done. I'm scared. I'm done.
We love you, Tess. We love you. Have a great week.
Because I'm so thirsty right now.
She's the best. But like, am I, like, so you see how angry she is, and it's passionate. You heard Anthony. Anthony's complete. Anthony has no emotion at all. Like, he's apathetic about the Giants.
It's the icebox like, where his heart used to be.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's completely, like, just emotionally distant now
he's
from them.
Numb.
And I'm looking at it, and maybe I'm just looking at it the wrong way. I see a team that obviously needs more. They have to get more pieces. They don't have enough. But I see a team that actually resembles a team that has a structure that is starting that you could see is forming. They got something. They don't have enough to win, but they have enough to be competitive right now.
Yeah.
And so I asked the question, and I got, like I said, some fans agree with me, and some say it's a terrible take that this team is far away from being any good, it's a bad team. And I mean, Bart, I look at it as this offseason will be important.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna have some cap space.
They got some.
They'll have a high draft pick.
Yeah.
And you can get the pieces now that Joe Judge needs
right.
to play the way he wants to play, and Jason Garrett,
we're fighting Joe Judge
and the defense. And you can then build off of something where, okay, now our structure's in place. We're really not that competitive yet, but we will be. You get enough talent wins, everybody. Yeah. It wins. It sounds nice. It's cute to say, hey, he coached them up. That doesn't happen all the time. They just don't have it in place yet, but they're getting there. That's how I feel looking at the Giants.
Yeah.
But yet, am I crazy to say that? Is that a terrible take to think the Giants really aren't that far off? They just need more talent at certain positions, and tight end suddenly becomes one of them?
Well, tight end and suddenly tackle, right? Because at some point, even with Nate Solder, you might want to consider just letting him go, right? He hasn't played at a high level. He has a high cap number. If you can get out of that contract, you might consider moving him. But, you know, if Thomas can't live up to expectations, then you got a lot of holes. I just think that Gettleman isn't the man to build this team. I think you look at a guy like John Dorsey and what he was able to put and surround Baker Mayfield with. He's out there. He's available because they decided to go in another direction. I think you got to consider bringing a guy in like that that's been doing things a little uniquely. You know, we talk about, you know, that defense. Would that defense look better if they had a guy like Yannick? I guess you got to call him Yannick now. Yannick Ngakoue.
Yannick now? Is
yeah, yeah, he. I think he made a connection, a correction. It's not Yannick, it's Yannick. Mm-hmm. You know, but anyway, they have to get better players. All of a sudden, Jabril Peppers looks like a player that's the ultimate tease, right? He comes in, he can do so many things. He's the jack of all trades, master of none. Mm-hmm. So that's a Gettleman pick. They talk about Zeitler potentially being on the trading block. So if you trade in Zeitler, so basically everything that you gave up for Odell Beckham, you got from him for him, you gave right back, and they didn't bring you any win you any more games. They didn't take you to any divisional championships, didn't get you to the playoffs. So then you left a great talent that, you know, you couldn't get along with or whatever the reasons were. You know, you paid him to trade him, and that's what you did. So you have to take ownership of that. The fact that you've had plenty of opportunities. I think he's been here 3 years now. Gettleman's been here 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
3 years, and this team is regressing. You know, after all the picks that he's made, you know, told us that it wasn't a franchise quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now
if
you look at Josh Allen.
I don't think they're regressing.
I'm talking about regressions as far as his
players
numbers,
he picked?
The players he's picked, and his performance. His performance has been subpar. Right? Like, he's had a lot of high picks the last three. Like, Saquon, listen, they got to make a decision with Saquon as well. Are they going to pick up that contract?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a real that, deal. That. Like, it's real business. Business is business. But, you know, he's a talented player. And because you don't have a great backups, right, or you don't have, you know, great skill position players, you say, you know what? He's the best, most talented player we got.
Chris Canty joins us here to discuss everything, football,
Sir
life.
Brother Noomsi.
All other stuff that's going on.
We got to talk about you, Reaper, and my Giants last night, too, by the way.
I figured that was coming.
Yeah, of course it was coming. How you going to send that text to the group chat after they go up 21-10 talking about ball game?
Game blouses.
How you going to do that, man?
Listen, Chris, I don't know what winning looks like anymore, okay?
Yeah, but you are aware of your powers as a Reaper. You're well aware of them.
I try to use
it's not
them
like,
good.
It's not like Rick and I didn't tell you when we all did a show together. It's not like you didn't know. It's not like you're oblivious to the fact that when you put something out in the universe about a team, it usually goes left.
Thought it changed.
That is
fair. He did it. Supposedly, he did it to the Islanders early this playoffs.
Wouldn't surprise me, Bart. It wouldn't surprise me. He does it all the time.
No, I'm saying, I'm just telling you what they said. Listen, I was all for it, man. I thought it was a wrap too. I was like, man, listen, DeSean Jackson got hurt. These are signs from the guys that all is well. You know, DeSean Jackson, and you'll probably would have, you know, in years past has been the Achilles heel for them. He finally looks like he a 30 plus receiver now. He could be done.
I'm sitting here looking at the screenshot from Ant. You sent ball game at 11:10 p.m. last night.
Yeah, I did.
You're a bad guy.
By the way, no. Who's a bad friend? Anthony. Chris isn't even on the group chat. Why does he have to be part of our business?
Who for Anthony forced it to him?
Al, you know why? No, Al, I'm going to tell you why.
He's taking screenshots. Hey, Chris, look what he did.
You know what we call that? We call that a Dallas.
You know what it is, Alan?
Is that what that is? That's sources?
Alan, you know what it is, Alan? I came in the studio with so much smoke for Evan Engram, and Anthony just wanted to make sure that I directed all of that vitriol to the proper place.
Really?
And it really wasn't Evan Engram. Now I know why it slipped off of his fingertips. It's because you put that out there in the universe, Reaper.
Well, look at you being helicopter mom now. All of a sudden, it's not. No, my son didn't do it. It was the guy who said he should have caught the ball. Oh, it's your fault. Let's see what you're doing here. You're deflecting blame. Your play is not good enough. That's the bottom line. That's the problem. Your tight end should have made a catch and the game's over. You know it. My problem was I had too much confidence in a guy that everybody told me was supposed to be a really good tight end. He's Chris freaking Herndon. That's what he is.
I don't know why you would have that much confidence in
him. Looks great in the airport, but once he gets on the field, he's terrible.
To know better. You've seen enough from Evan Engram this season to know better.
Yeah, I don't know.
You saw from the turnover he had in the second quarter. You know better.
I told you. I don't know what winning looks like anymore. I don't.
So tell me.
I think I do now, but I keep messing it up. I don't recognize it anymore.
But all in all, like we're both New York teams, we're to the point, Chris, where we have to make the decision who stays and who goes. So if I had to say, you know, he stays, he goes, what would you say about the general manager?
About Dave Gettleman?
Yeah.
I'm saying that he's probably on his way out the door. Listen, it's never a good thing when the owner comes out at the beginning of the offseason and says the GM has to improve his batting average. And then you have a former first-round draft pick from a year ago get cut because he's got felony charges for aggravated assault down in Florida.
Yeah,
fair point. That's never a good thing. And then the jury is out on all three of Dave Gettleman's top 10 picks that he's had since he's been GM of the Giants.
No.
Saquon Barkley tore his ACL, but there was a question about whether or not you should have taken a running back when you got five quarterbacks that went in the first round that year, including Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. That's neither here nor there. Daniel Jones, we'll see what the rest of the season has to hold. But listen, the kid's got 34 turnovers in 20 games.
Call those junior whopper
hands. And then Andrew Thomas is a turnstile. It's Eric Flowers 2.0.
Oh, see, and you, you said that last night, and that blew my mind that you would go there already.
Listen,
you really see it? That's you see that in him?
Alan, it's the same level of concern. It is. When you look at it, it's clear that the kid is swimming. And I get it. There's a lot going on, the speed of the game. It's hard to adjust to the NFL. There's a learning curve that goes along with it.
Well, three guys that he was picking for
has made it. But when you see people putting this kid in the spin cycle, I mean, Derek Barnett had that kid not knowing whether he was coming or going. And Vinny Curry did the exact same move two quarters later.
Yes.
Now, lucky Daniel Jones was able to avoid that one. But you had that. And then Nathan Gary comes along on a simple stunt where the defensive end veers inside and the outside linebacker scrapes on the outside and he doesn't get back out and Nathan Gary sacks your quarterback. Those sacks end up being drive killers. And what's been one of the things that we've been talking about with this Giants offense? They're not able to sustain drives. You know why they're not able to sustain drives, Alan? Because they're in too many damn third and longs. Last night, the Giants were 3-10 on third downs. And the seven conversions, here were the downs and distances. 3rd and 13. 3rd and 7, which resulted in a pick. 3rd and 17. 3rd and 15. 3rd and 11. 3rd and 12. 3rd and 7. Now, Bart, you played in this league a long time.
Yeah.
You going to convert many third downs at that down a distance?
Oh, you're getting that blitz package, baby. We get 3rd and 7. We get the party. We going to go rock, paper, scissors about who get to eat.
Exactly. Guess who's saying that? The defensive line, right?
Yeah.
Because it's an obvious passing situation. Yeah. So they're teeing off. They're teeing off.
I'm sorry, Chris. I just want to understand. How much of that has to do with the lack of a running game? I know there's no Saquon, but and you lost Freeman. They just don't establish any kind of run whatsoever.
Well, I thought they did a good job of establishing the run last night.
Well, Daniel Jones did.
Yeah, Daniel Jones did. But, I mean, even if you take that one out, that was an 80-yard run. They still ran the ball for 160 yards. So, I mean, 80, they still got 80 yards of rush game
productivity. Half was on one play.
Yeah, but they still had rush game productivity, Allen. They were able. They had more balance running the football in that game than any other game that they had this season. And if you looked at the end of the game, they did a damn good job of four-minute offense. I mean, they came out.
The Gallman touchdown, yeah.
They came out in a situation where it's 4 minutes and 34 seconds left, and the Eagles knew that they were trying to run the ball. And that offensive line was getting movement at the point of attack with Gallman and Deion Lewis. The only thing that was missing out of that 4 minute offense drive, the only thing that was missing was your tight end coming up with the catch on 3rd and 7. That's it.
Yeah,
if
that's
he makes that play, it's game set, over. Match. It's over. You got the ball inside the 30, inside of 2 minutes, with the Eagles only having two timeouts.
All right.
But let me go back to what Bart said, because that's something that I asked. I'm looking at it from a different perspective because of my affinity for the Jets. I'm looking at the Giants. I'm watching Joe Judge and what he's doing with this team. And I'm seeing a team that is very competitive, that each week seems to be getting better and better with no preseason. It's a new coach. And that they have a luft issue. They have a lack of freaking talent. They just don't have enough pieces in certain places. Ingram being that one where you're like, if he's got to catch that, and the game is pretty much over, right? So I look at it that way. But I'm actually, am I wrong saying that? Do you think that, no, they have, there's a lot of issues still with this group? Because if they go into this offseason and you feel like they're trending in the right direction, who is the GM to make these decisions? Because these are very important decisions. You could be a team that's trending up, but if you make one or two bad moves, you're no longer trending up. It's a huge offseason waiting for this team.
No, there is going to be a huge offseason waiting for this team. And I thought last night was the game that you would point to and say, okay, they lose that game. They're probably out of contention. You're probably talking about having a top half of the first round pick, if not a top 10 pick. So you do have to look toward the future. And I think that whoever your general manager is going to be in 2021, it's got to be somebody that Joe Judge is comfortable with, because you have to have synergy at the top of the organization in terms of being able to create an identity for this team. Now, this is what I'll say about Joe Judge. In terms of overall level of compete, the fight that we see this team have, Allen, I'm with you and Bart. I think it's pointed in the right direction. But now it's about, okay, let's find the players that we need, the building block pieces, to bring Joe Judge's vision into focus.
With that being said, right? With that being said, understanding that this team has a lack of talent, as Allen would say, right? We have a very important day that comes up November 3rd, right? No, it's not just the presidential, candidacy, right? It's not just that. Mm-hmm. It's the trade deadline.
Saw you filled out your ballot, by the way.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
I saw you filled out your ballot.
I got to be responsible.
That's a good thing.
I couldn't sit this one out.
Yeah, your home state is an important state.
Yeah, I know. You know what I'm saying? I'm a value voter, so now, you know what I'm saying? Show me some love. You know, I need some tax breaks.
I'm a warrior.
But you looked at, November 3rd, what's going on is the fact that, you can trade some players. And if you say, hey, I don't like that Dave Gettleman paid Golden Tate. And if you're Joe Judge saying, hey, he's not part of my future, he's part of the present and the past, let's get him out of here. Then you start to look to try and move some of these pieces. So on this roster, when you go down, we see it already happening with the Jets, right? They got rid of Le'Veon. They got rid of, I don't even know the linebacker they got rid of. I've never even heard of this dude.
Oh, Jordan Willis?
Never heard of him. But,
Steve McClendon.
Yeah, they got a postage stamp for both.
Yeah, the Jets are punting on the season. But I see what you're saying about the trade deadline and wondering, what guys are you going to keep? What guys are you going to move on from? I will answer that question this way. I thought the most important question that the Giants had coming into this season was whether or not Daniel Jones is their franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
So I would hesitate to move off of any pieces that I might need in order to evaluate him this year, especially going into the second half. I want to try to give him as much help as he needs in order to see if he can clean up some of the mistakes and he can grow into the quarterback that we believe he has the potential to be. So that's the part of it that I would try to focus on. What pieces does my young quarterback need in order to try to support him so I can get the answer as to whether or not he's my guy? Because you're right. This is an important offseason in terms of the overall direction.
Yeah.
And if Daniel Jones isn't your quarterback, you're talking about setting your program back two or three more seasons.
Yeah. But you talk about Gettleman giving Sterling Shepard money, giving Golden Tate money. If you can clear those off the books, I don't know what free agency looks like this year. This is going to be a unique year. Mm-hmm. The fact that, maybe draft picks doesn't have the same equity that it had before, because nobody knows what these college players are going to look like. They're not going to get a really true look at these guys. We don't know what the combine is going to look like, mm-hmm. what workouts are going to be like. Next year, you think about March, we still could be in the middle of this, of COVID. And so, now you may say, I'd rather go with known commodities and try and use these draft picks that I have to go get players. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. And it's crazy because I'm looking, you know, yesterday, and, you know, it's this opportunity because Leonard Williams is playing well. If you think that you can't get anything for him, I mean, if you think that you can't pay him, then you look at what happened to Yannick. He's on a franchise tag. You can move a guy like Yannick. I'm sorry. Yeah, he changed his name. Terrell Terrell. Man, get out of here, man. They say Yannick, really, if you want to talk about it.
Let's just go with
Ngakoue. You know what I mean? Like, you'll have an opportunity to maybe move a guy like Leonard Williams unless you are planning on giving him $100 million, you may be able to get some equity for Joe Judge to build his team the way that he wants, even though Dave Gettleman may not be the general manager. As an owner, Maron Tisch could go to him and say, you know what, move these pieces, find a destination for him so that Joe Judge can have a clean slate.
I hear what you're saying. I guess the other part of this that I look at is saying, how valuable is a player like Leonard Williams in terms of helping Joe Judge build the culture that he's trying to create here with the Giants? Because you're trying to lay the
foundation.
You're trying to lay the foundation for sustained success. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I will say is that defense is flying around.
Yeah,
that defense is a lot better than any of us thought it would be coming into this season. And Leonard Williams is a big part of that, along with Kyler Fackrell and Blake Martinez and James Bradbury. All Dave Gettleman moves. So I'll give Dave Gettleman credit for that. That defense is a lot better. I don't know if I necessarily want to move off of Leo at the deadline, even if I might not be re-signing him, just because I think, along with the messaging that's been coming from Joe Judge, you got to have some tangible results in the way of winning. I mean, all that discipline and all that stuff, that only goes so far if you're not winning games.
Gotcha.
That becomes a message that falls on deaf ears. So
that's
to me, that defense is the best opportunity that you have to keep you in games, because you see your offense has been struggling.
Well, just for those out there that's keeping score, understand, yes, Fackrell, Bradbury, Martinez still got a deficit because a player that he brought in gave $50 million.
Slayton picks up in the late rounds, too. That's a good pickup.
But he's still at a deficit because a player that he brought in and gave $50 million is on the Jets practice squad. That should be the biggest indictment on any general manager.
Bart, you're not wrong about your criticism of Dave Gettleman. You know how I know you're not wrong? Yeah. Because the owner said it before the season started.
Yeah.
The owner said, when the owner comes out and says it, you know there's room for improvement with your general manager.
We're running out of time, guys, but there's a couple of things that I want to get to real quick. First and foremost, because somebody asked that Jay Black asked us on Twitter to ask you, and just yes or no answer. He just said, please ask CeCe, is Daniel Jones a franchise quarterback? Yes or no, Chris?
To be determined, man.
Okay, so you don't know. We don't know yet. All right, that's fine. Now, the last thing is, it's just something we need to settle quickly, because Bart upset Keyshawn Johnson, and clearly he upset you as well with his comments on KJZ earlier this week about how Dallas Cowboys have always been soft. When he played against them, they were always soft. Chris Canning was on KJZ this morning and had this reply.
Whenever I ever played a Dallas Cowboys team, it was always the softest team I've ever played.
I don't think he was talking about me. I mean, I see Bart Scott every single day. He comes to work at ESPN New York, and he's never said anything about me being a soft football player.
I know he wasn't talking about me.
I know he wasn't talking about me.
I know he wasn't talking about me.
Oh, okay, Key.
I didn't say he was talking about you.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I know he wasn't talking about me.
Well, I mean, Bart Scott got an awful lot to say for somebody that ain't got no jewelry on his finger. Awful lot to say.
Oh.
So I hate to end on that, but.
So really, can I respond? Like, really?
Absolutely.
The narrative of the Cowboys is that they take a lot of credit for being a great team and a great organization. They haven't been that in a long time, and that they walk around with that bravado and their chest out because every year, because being in Dallas is like his own country, right? It's like his own country. Around there, they have one perception of how the fans look at them. But outside of that, outside of Texas, we look at them as underachievers. We've never said, hey, this Dallas Cowboy team has overachieved. And that's an indictment, because you should be able to overachieve at times. They've always been considered one of the most talented teams in the NFL, but they've never lived up to expectations. They're the team every year, like we say about the Yankees, this is their year. This is the year that they're going to get it done. And they always underwhelm us. And this year, because of different circumstances, is going to not be any different.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, one thing I will say. Bart Scott caught a little bit of shrapnel there, but he's not wrong in his evaluation of the Cowboys. They got a culture problem, and I believe at the heart of it is ownership and this mentality that they have. And there's a reason why the Dallas Cowboys are my ex. If you want to bring it back to a real world analogy, like I left it for a reason. There's a reason why. I realized I couldn't get a championship down there. I rolled with the winners and came up to New York. Just saying.
Yeah, they look good. They that fine chick, all that stuff, man. You realize she can't cook and she got halitosis.
Hey, Bart, 13-3 in 2007 was real cool until the New York Giants bounced us out of the playoffs on their way to winning the championship.
Yeah, it's like,
that's when I said to myself,
so you put a KD? You put a KD?
Hey, we are going to leave it right there. We're
going to
let these guys continue this conversation as we go off the air. SNY and 98.7 ESPN have a Jets prize package for you. Tune into SNY, the TV home of the Jets, for your Jets postgame live starring Bart Scott with Jonah Schwartz, Jhené Coakley, following Sunday's game against the Colts. Bart, how am I getting in on this show, man? I haven't done Knicks in like a year.
Yeah, man, I gotta get in on this. We're gonna get you in, man.
Can SNY put a little cheese on the taco? Let me talk some Jets with you guys.
You know, they got Chad Cascano.
I love Chad. Chad's a friend. A good friend of the family.
And then sometimes Jamal Westman comes in. We can just take a couple days from them guys.
But don't you want like get like the reporter aspect? You know, I could give you that like sort of like
absolutely, man. We can get your own report guy. Yeah, we can get your own room, man. Get your own room. You can be like John Sally and Bad Boys. Like we give you a super small chair to make you look like you 7 feet. You know what I'm saying? Some crazy Dwayne Wayne glasses.
No, you do that thing. Like, what do they do on Sunday Night Football? They throw it over to Florio?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he's at his own little desk, and they're like, hey, nerd, tell us some nerdy stuff.
Exactly.
Like, I could be that guy. Denzel Mims runs at a speed of, I can give you something like that. Like, that'd be good for the show, wouldn't it?
That'd be great. I'm putting it in the suggestion box.
I like that. All right, so following Sunday's game, you can catch the Jets quote of the game on the postgame show. Then you tune into our show, which starts Monday at 11 a.m., for your chance to win official Jets merchandise courtesy of 98.7 ESPN and SNY.
Get your New York sports here!
I didn't say it yet. Jets postgame live, only on SNY. A little jumpy.
Get your New York sports here! A little jumpy.
So I got some injury updates for you for the Jets. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, good news. Mekhi Becton trending towards playing.
Wow.
That's good. Denzel Mims, however, with the hammy on the IR, they're not sure yet if they're going to take him off IR and play him in the game.
Come on, man.
They're going to make that decision based on need. Because Jameson Crowder, limited in practice, the groin issue. By the way, Fant hurt his knee yesterday in practice, so he's not practicing.
Hold on. We watched a drill of them practicing.
Alex,
How the hell you hurt anything doing that?
Alex Lewis also has a little bit of an issue.
He's not practicing. Man.
And your boy, Sam Frickin' Ficken. That groin, bugging him.
Like, I don't understand. Doing what? What was he doing? Stretching? Was he in the weight room? Because he ain't been kicking
over.
He ain't had no damn field goal attempts.
But the most important name out of all this is Sam Darnold. So he looks like he will start, barring any setbacks on Sunday. He will be in the game. He doesn't feel great.
Come hell or high water. He know what time it is. He know what they've been saying.
That's what I mean. Yeah, so that's what Gay said. Gay said he doesn't feel great like he did week one, but it's no issues with the shoulders. Not concerned of re-injury to the shoulder. However, is it the right thing to do? Sam basically wants to play. He's willing to, he basically said he's not willing to take no for an answer, which is basically what you're saying. Sam wants to play in this game against Josh Allen and the Bills. He's hearing the whispers, and Adam Gase saying, I'm not afraid of him getting hurt, so he wants to play. He's not going to take no for an answer. We're going to put him out there.
Yeah, I mean, this is Sam calling his own shot. He understands what the narrative is becoming. He's had to field questions about Trevor Lawrence, and he's hearing people, nobody putting respect on his name. And now, he sees Joe Flacco, some of these weapons coming back. If these weapons look better with Joe Flacco, then he can actually look with him. Then people are going to say, well, who's supposed to be the young quarterback here, the phenom? So he understands that he needs to get back so he can make sure that nobody ever knows, and he can make sure that he can come back at the right time with the weapons. And if he can, show us and give us a glimmer of hope, just a glimmer, just a speck of sunlight in this world of darkness, which is the New York sports scene.
Not great. Jets 0-6. They're 12.5-point underdogs to the Bills.
To 12
in this game. We got to pick this one. I think we both lost, right? Because the Eagles only won by a point, so we lose our picks yesterday.
It was 2, right?
And we've got, it was 4.5.
Oh, 4.5.
Yeah, it was 4.5, so not good. So we ended up losing even though the Eagles won.
Now, I've got a game I'm kicking around, which is Cleveland-Cincinnati. And Cleveland on the road, laying 3. I kind of feel like for the Browns.
This is the second matchup, right?
Yeah, second time they played. So I need people to help me with this one because I think Mixon might be hurt, not practicing. Cleveland's running game is really strong against Cincinnati's running defense, which is not great. Miles Garrett can make Joe Burrow's day miserable.
Baker Mayfield's hurt. Talk me out of it.
There's others. But in Blitzer Prevent, which is coming up next, plus your calls, we've got a couple of games, including a battle of undefeateds in the AFC. That could set a tone for the rest.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.